From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. For almost as long as there's been an America, there's been a census. Every 10 years since 1790, the federal government has set out to count everyone who lives here.
From ocean to ocean, border to border, tabulation takes miles and months.
Census Day is coming up, April 1st. This is when we're all supposed to answer questions about where we live and with whom, our age, race, and sex. This statistical snapshot will be used for things like distributing federal funds to states and local communities. As the nation has gotten bigger and more complex, so has the census.
The first census took 18 months to count less than 4 million people. Using today's electronic tools, we'll count over 200 million in a fraction of that time.
Every 10 years, the Census Bureau rolls out campaigns to convince people to take part.
In 80 million mailboxes across the USA, the census is a-coming to help us plan the way.
In 1980, they used sports stars.
I'm Elvin Hayes of the Washington Bullets.
I'm Lou Brock of the St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm Sugar Ray Leonard.
Even Mickey Mouse helped get the word out.
Can we count on you?
You can count on me.
And together we...
It's always been a challenge to carry out the census, and this one is shaping up to be especially difficult.
When a census goes out, you should find out whether or not, and you have the right to ask whether or not somebody is a citizen of the United States.
The Trump administration's attempt to add a citizenship question last year caused panic in immigrant communities and a firestorm on Capitol Hill.
It's going to intimidate and discourage. And it has to be seen in a context, the context of an anti-immigrant policy coming out of this White House.
Critics accuse the administration of using the citizenship question to scare immigrants, even those living in the U.S. legally, away from the census. The administration said it was trying to provide data to enforce the Voting Rights Act. But the Supreme Court said that justification was contrived and blocked the question from appearing on the census. President Trump has vowed to gather citizenship information using existing data from states and federal agencies.
Are you a citizen of the United States of America? Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I just can't answer that question. And that's after spending billions and billions of dollars.
Even though the question has been removed, the citizenship controversy still hangs over the census. And that's only one of the issues facing this year's count. So where does that leave the 2020 census? Can it meet its goal of counting everyone? And who's behind efforts to limit who gets counted? That's what we're looking at on today's show.
Hey, sweetie, what did you learn in school today?
I learned that the 2020 census counts everyone in the U.S. Where there are more people, there are more needs for things like schools and hospitals.
Just like the little girl says in this PSA, census numbers are used in a ton of ways. It's estimated that more than $1 trillion gets divvied up to states each year based on the numbers. They're also used to figure out how many seats each state gets in the House of Representatives. Montana and Florida, for example, might gain a seat in Congress this time around. California and Illinois could lose one. So the work done in the census translates into political power, who gets it and who doesn't. And when the count isn't accurate, there are consequences. It could mean that schools, hospitals, or businesses are built in the wrong place or shut down unnecessarily. If young children aren't counted, that could mean there aren't enough slots in programs like Head Start. The census matters, and this time around, it's in big trouble. The debate around the citizenship question has gotten a lot of attention, but there were problems long before that entered the picture. For one thing, the basic goal of just counting everyone is getting more difficult.
It is a massive operation that is incredibly complex.
That's Sunshine Hillegas, a political science professor at Duke University who studied the census for years.
The proportion of the population that speaks a different language, that is highly mobile, that is younger, these are all things that make the population more difficult to count.
And because counting everyone is harder to do, it's also more expensive. The cost has been ballooning for decades. For 2020, Congress told the Bureau to reel things in.
At the beginning of the decade, for the first time really ever, the Census Bureau was instructed to prioritize cost savings over quality.
A tall order, count a growing population with less money.
there was recognition that that would be a difficult task, but that there were some opportunities for innovation.
Innovation. The Census Bureau sets its hopes on new technology as a way to get a more accurate count.
Obviously, the big one is the fact that this will be primarily conducted online.
This is a first. Next month, the Census will start sending out invitations in the mail telling people how to use the online form. The Bureau says this will save money, paper, and be more user-friendly, but some of the Bureau's own experts are worried they're not doing enough to get out the message about how it will work.
We are not using the multiple contact strategies of email. We could. We have a contact list. We're not doing it.
That's Nancy Bates, a Census Bureau scientist giving a presentation to other survey experts in 2019. In her talk, she listed off some things the Bureau could be doing to prod people to respond, but isn't.
We could use text, right? But we're not doing that either. And we're also not reaching out to people by phone. They can call in, but we're not calling them. Maybe I'm worrying too much, but those are kind of some of the things that do keep me up a little bit at night.
She's not the only one who's worried. Last year, the Government Accountability Office found the 2020 Census is one of the most severely at-risk projects in the federal government. We wanted to ask the Census Bureau about these concerns, but were not given an interview. In a written statement, a representative said the Bureau is committed to ensuring a complete count and that this round will be the most high-tech yet. Even if the system runs without a hiccup, some people still might decide they don't want to fill out the census form. When people don't complete the census forms, the Bureau sends workers out to knock on doors and get those households counted. This work is time-consuming and expensive. And here again, the Bureau had big plans for technology. In 2012, it held a contest, asking people to come up with a statistical model to help them find people who were most likely to ignore their census forms. 244 people took part in the contest, including Bill Boehm.
I currently work as a data scientist in the healthcare business.
Data contests are Bill's idea of a good time. Remember when Netflix wanted to come up with a better algorithm to recommend your next weekend binge? They held a competition, too.
The prize was $1 million.
Bill didn't win the Netflix competition, but he came close.
After that, you know, you sort of have that letdown, right? Like, what am I going to do now?
So when he heard about the Census Bureau's return rate challenge, he was in.
What they were looking for was a way to better predict where return rates, and that is how many people do not send back their census results, right? Where return rates would be low. And that way, you know, it would theoretically enable them to target their resources better because they every 10 years they have to hire an army of people, right?
Because the whole job of the census basically is it's easy when people report and send in their paperwork, no big deal. But it's finding people, communities, places where people really don't respond. So the game here is to help them target those communities.
Right. So you could just do, well, in the 2000 census, these are the places that didn't respond well, right? You could do that, but that's not really going to tell you the story because things change over a 10-year period.
So it's like predictive modeling.
It is predictive modeling.
With a predictive model, the Census Bureau can be more strategic about where to send workers who knock on doors when people don't respond. Bill won the competition and took home the $14,000 prize. But these days, he doesn't think his model will do the job.
Look, these people are going to be afraid, and people who are afraid aren't going to respond.
President Trump unveiling a new push to track down undocumented immigrants as ICE agents gear up for a series of raids
this weekend. 10 cities were previously listed as being targeted for the ICE
raids. Multiple raids have already happened across Contra Costa and Santa Clara counties.
Bill says the administration's stance towards immigrants is like a witch hunt that will scare people away from the census because of concerns that the government will use the information to come after them. He says 2020 is very different from 2000 or 2010, the years his model was based on.
If people who get this form and aren't maybe inclined to fill it out anyway now think that filling it out is going to do them some harm or there's going to be some danger in it, then absolutely they don't want to fill it out. That throws your model all out of whack.
So what would be your advice to the census now?
I would have to tell them that these modern techniques like machine learning will probably not be as helpful as they would like in this case. I would have to say, gear up for hiring a bigger army than you've had to hire before.
If someone asked him today to create a predictive model, Bill says he wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because his results would be terrible. Fear is a set of data he can't quantify. One of the places where that fear of the census runs deep is in California's Central Valley, where local advocates are doing everything they can to save the census.
We know that we're trusted messengers, and so we need to make sure that our staff can be ready and able to help.
That's next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.